scattered showers during the day. The high tomorrow is 64. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Definitely one of those additions here on the show, right? And it is a victory Monday, so let's definitely get that out the way. But when you look at really what's gone on in the college football world over, what, the last 2 days, last 48 hours, it's been a wild ride. So we're going to talk about all that. We're definitely going to break down this Alabama-South Carolina game. You guys see the title over on the YouTube stream. If you haven't, go check us out right now at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. It's completely free. All we ask is drop us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. But we will be breaking down the game. I will pull up some clips and we'll take a look at it, because obviously there's some good, right? A little bit more towards the end of the game. Good bit of bad and definitely some ugly in this game. So we'll talk about it. We'll break it down. And we'll answer any questions that you guys might have, because I know there's plenty of questions about this last game that we played. Biggest thing we can take away from it, Chase and Reed, right? 29-22 victory. You walk away with a dub. At the end of the day, doesn't matter how pretty it is, how ugly it is, how you got it. As long as you have a W in that win column, that's all that matters. And that's what we did. So we capped off that five-week stretch, right? Five SEC games, four of them being ranked opponents. You know, we were blazing through that. And a lot of people kind of had this feeling. Now, I will say this. I definitely was watching the tape and I kept saying, like, you know, I just don't think the South Carolina team will be able to pull it off. But I did say it would not shock me if this ends up being a challenge. And I listed those reasons why I thought it could be a challenge. And I'm going to go over them, because if you look at how this game played out, a lot of that ended up happening in this game. And I'll discuss all that here in a second when we come back. But we'll dive into all that in a minute. But I also want to throw out a couple other things that have been swirling around the college football world, right? How about LSU? So they're not only our next opponent, but we talk about being a faceless opponent each week. Well, they're going to be a coachless opponent, right? Brian Kelly has been fired out of Baton Rouge after following a team meeting last night. I believe it was called late, and sounds like they went ahead and went through with it. A lot of people were wondering what was going to be the move there. But Chase, Reed, guys, I mean, this is just getting out of hand, in my opinion. I mean, you're talking about Florida's got vacancies. Midseason, Penn State vacancy midseason. I mean, and this is not just like, oh, okay, you're just going to fire this guy and move on. I mean, we're talking about big time buyouts, right? I mean, these coaches, I mean, the buyout right now for all the coaches that have been fired midseason at this point, if I'm not mistaken, is higher than the highest. Well, I guess the record was like 2 years ago, and it's already beaten that, and we're just over the midpoint of the season. So It's crazy. It's just crazy to think about, because, I mean, these are good coaches, right? And I understand they're not living up to these expectations, but it just goes to show you, man. I mean, like, I think there's a shorter leash now than ever, right, with these coaches and the expectations from these programs. And the other thing that I've gathered from this, guys, is allegedly these schools just have a money printing machine, because, I mean, not only is Brian Kelly, I think he's around like 50, but to buy out the rest of the staff and everybody else involved, I think what I read said it would be pushing $100 million. $100 million. So obviously LSU just said that, you know what, we'll bite the bullet, we'll cough up the cash, and then we'll move on. But, you know, even more interesting than just that is that I'm finding, like, there's been several tweets from whether it's former LSU guys, like alumni or whatnot, but it seems like people are almost kind of I wouldn't necessarily say happy, but some of their cryptic tweets are kind of indicating that they might not have been the biggest fan of Brian Kelly. So who knows? Who knows what was going on over there? It's just crazy. I will say this. Not only is it a great time to be a failed head coach and get a buyout and just get paid just to go sit on a yacht for a couple of years and come do media or coach in a few years if you want, but also if you're a coach that's up and coming, I mean, look, guys, look at these coaching spots. I mean, LSU, that's a hell of a job right there, man. I mean, that's probably the best one in my opinion. Florida's a really attractive one too. Penn State, very historic program. I mean, like these are some great, you know, positions that are opening up. How about some of these younger coaches, right, that are probably going to get some opportunities? And maybe not just a young coach. I mean, Lane Kiffin's name is swirling now more than ever, right? So it's been quite the circus this weekend. But I also do at some point, we'll just kind of take a look around the SEC and kind of where things stand, right? Because if you look at it, we're kind of starting to weed teams out a little bit. You know what I mean? We still got plenty of time. But like I said, on Friday, now is that point in the year where you got a bunch of one-loss teams battling each other out. This is where the SEC gets to be like a bloodbath because everybody starts beating up on each other. And then it's unfortunate because you go from having all these teams in the top 25 and we start knocking each other off. And it kind of makes the SEC not look as strong as we would be. But, I mean, again, Vanderbilt playing Missouri. This is a top-ranked matchup, right? Vanderbilt continues, their success that they're having, you know, led by Diego Pavia, but Missouri lose their quarter, but it's a close game, right? You go look at Texas A&M, struggle in the first half, down in Baton Rouge, then that ass whooping that they put on LSU pretty much got Brian Kelly fired. And I'm not going to lie, looking at them, starting to say, all right, I'm going to give them some respect. I know LSU's not looking great this year, but to go on the road, Baton Rouge, and have a second half like they did after, you know, not playing great in that first half, I mean, they definitely, quarterback's playing really good. Their defense looks really good. They earned some more of my respect for sure. Ole Miss picks up a win over Oklahoma. Again, I still think Ole Miss's defense is a little inconsistent for me, but they look like a good team. So it's going to be interesting to see this SEC race because where we're at, I mean, you got Alabama narrowly escaping South Carolina, which we're about to dive in and talk about, right? Not going to put too much on the performance given all the other circumstances, which we'll get into that in a minute, but still got Alabama. Right, undefeated in the conference, still only loss being, you know, to Florida State week one. You've got Texas A&M, undefeated overall, undefeated in the conference. Those are the top two teams right now. Then you look at Georgia, you look at Ole Miss. I think those top four definitely, it's going to come down to I guess, how these teams finish out, right? It's going to be interesting. You look at Ole Miss's schedule, not too challenging there. So it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be an exciting end of the regular season, I believe. I see Superfly, he mentioned Mississippi State. How about that game? I mean, they should have beat Texas. I mean, they choked. They unfortunately choked. But still, it's good to see shout out to Mississippi State. Chase, you know, he's got ties to Mississippi State with some school and whatnot. But, hey, man, shout out to Mississippi State. It's good to see them start to get some life back in there, especially knowing that they're going to be one of our permanent opponents for the next few years. I would love to see them a little bit better than they've been in the past few years. But anyway, just wanted to take a quick preview around the SEC and kind of what's been going on there. We still have to play Oklahoma. You know what I mean? I still think it'd be a decent game, but I don't know, guys. The way it's kind of looking, I mean, you got a coachless LSU team coming to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Oklahoma, definitely still a good football team. Don't get me wrong. They're a really good team, but just not as good as I initially thought the first few games in the year. And then Auburn, we already know how they're struggling, but still it's going to be tough going on the road. All I'm getting at is the remainder of Alabama's schedule, three straight home games. Looks like we're going to be put in a nice position coming off of this bye week. You know what I mean? That's all I'm getting at. But I think if you learned anything from this past Saturday, doesn't matter who you're playing, what the schedule says, what the record says, what hardly anybody says, you're going to get everybody's best game moving forward, and you got to prepare just like that. That being said, it's time to hit our first timeout. When we come back, we dive into this Alabama-South Carolina game again. The Tide closing out the first big stretch, right, with a dub. Narrowly escaping Columbia, South Carolina. I know my dad probably about choked on his cigar when they unfortunately choked. Had an opportunity to win it. And similar to what happened last year, man, they just couldn't get the job done. They basically gave us the win, right? If you think about it, 2 years in a row. I kind of feel for Shane Beamer. I hate to say it like that, but I kind of feel for him, man. Just so close. And I know they get so excited, but They just can't, they can't figure it out, man. Maybe one day. But Saturday was not that day. Thank God, because we would not have heard the end of it from him on the show. He probably would have been front and center about at 10:55 before the show even started if that happened. So thank God it did. All right, we got to hit timeout. When we come back, we dive into this breakdown right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts.
Depart. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Time, right? We talked about everything going on that's been a little crazy, but let's go Victory Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hey, don't forget, guys, if you guys are like me and you like free stuff, right, that doesn't make you greedy, that makes you smart, right? You're being frugal. Well, you got a chance to get some free cash. Goodfeetkickforcash.com. Go sign up. The kicking challenge, right? You get an opportunity to kick some field goals to win some free cash, 10, 20, 30 yarder. Right. If you max out, you win the max amount of money, a couple thousand dollars. If not, you still walk away with the prize. All of it is completely free to sign up. All it takes is your name and an email. Goodfeetkickforcash.com. Make sure you guys go do that right now. And also, if you want to take a look at their art supports, which are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you guys know the drill. Goodfeet.com is their website. You can find the nearest location to you. But if you're in Alabama, there's five stores. You got one in Tuscaloosa right there, Midtown Village, Madison, Mobile, Birmingham. And another one, I believe, might be Huntsville. I could be wrong. I'm drawing a blank. But the website will tell you to type in that zip code. But again, these things are game changers and will make you feel brand new, better than ever, lighter than ever, on your feet, more balanced than ever. These things are incredible. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Arbor, how about this? Because we only got a few minutes anyways. I see the Pastor Payne jumped on here. I definitely want to get his thoughts. I'm definitely going to get my thoughts. But since we only got a few minutes before this next segment, to stay on schedule, let's take a look at like the last play, right? The last play or the last call, the game-winning touchdown for Alabama. There's been a lot of conversations here, and I just want to talk about this real quick because there's been a lot of conversation. I see Tia's in here, and I want to get to it while she's right here because she brought up this point, right? So just to go over the whole game situation, remember, we were down 14-22. South Carolina was up, right, in the fourth quarter. We're going down the field. We finally get some momentum going. You guys know how the first half went. And again, I will put some tape up on here. We'll break down some stuff. I got plenty to talk about. I promise we're going to get to that. I just want to go over this real quick. But Alabama marched down the field. We end up scoring, right? The game ends up being tied at 22. We know the beautiful forced fumble by Deontay Lawson, right? Biggest play of the game. South Carolina has the ball, is marching down the field, hopefully to put points on the board to win the game. They're getting ready to storm the field. You know, time's going down, and then, boom, we get the fumble recovery. We have the football now. And if you're Alabama, you're in a situation right there in that field goal range. You're obviously trying to get as close as possible. You got a young kicker, right? Not very experienced, has been inconsistent. We know that. But anyways, the play I'm talking about is, we all know what it is. It's Jeremy Bernard in the Wildcat. They fake the reverse. He ends up taking it. Well, it's a 3rd and 10 situation. So let's start there. It's a 3rd and 10 situation, right? And I believe the ball was already on like the 30 range or something, if I'm not mistaken. Ends up right at that point, probably would have been around like a low 40-yard field goal, 40-something-yard field goal, which, mind you, I think our kicker inside of 40-something has been, I think, pretty solid, almost perfect, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, we run the Wildcat, like fake reverse. Jeremy Bernard takes it to the right side of the field. And you see he has a clear edge, right? He hits a perimeter, and there's only one guy to beat. And that guy is number one, who I think is the guy that went to my high school, DQ, whatever his name is. DQ Smith. We went to the same high school, believe it or not. He has an opportunity. Now, Mike tweeted us, and Mike did have a point. Now, it did look like he probably could have, if he met Bernard as soon as he took that angle and met Bernard and stopped him from getting the first down and forced Alabama to kick a field goal. Here's the thing, though. If he, at that angle, if he goes and tackles him and he hits Bernard out of bounds, right, the clock stops, which would be great. If he does, if he makes a tackle and it's inbounds, then South Carolina really is messed up because then they had no timeouts to stop the clock. Alabama could just wind the clock way down. And then they still would be relying on Alabama to make the field goal, which at that point would have been, it still probably would have been like 30-something maybe, I believe. Still could have been around that 40 range. Fair. But again, the clock would have wound all the way down. And if he did make it, this game over, cool, whatever. However, the fact was, he was a little later getting there. Could he have made the tackle before the first down? I mean, he could have, right? I mean, we'll never know. But he made the business decision that it already appeared. And he might not, again, you got to remember, guys, these guys are like in the moment, like during the play. He can't necessarily, I mean, yeah, you could probably periff the sticks. But he probably wasn't 100% sure if Bernard already got the first or not, if he was right there or whatever. So he made the business decision that he was coached on, right? And I'll play the clip if we need to in a second, that if they picked up the first down, just let them score. And the reason I'm talking about this is because the controversy was when people heard Shane Beamer in the press conference say, we decided to let him score if they got the first down. I don't think he initially said that, and that's what people were taking for like their tweets, like, oh, he said let them score. Why would you do that? But here's why, guys. In football, it's all about you got to make decisions based off scenarios. Everything is situational, right? And it's not just the head coach. You guys got to understand. It's like I'm wearing a headset. These guys all have headsets. Everybody in the booth, on the side, like, everybody's communicating. You've got people up top that are running numbers. You've got everybody's communicating. And this is what they knew. They knew that they had no timeouts left. They could not stop the clock. If Alabama stayed in bounds, they would end up winding the clock down. And yes, I understand that the kicker wasn't probably the most consistent, especially the deeper it was. But where they were at right there, I mean, it's either you can say, hey, we can risk letting it wind down and let them just take the kick and we just hope that we can try to block it, whatever, which that's one point, yes. Or you can just let them score because you figure they're probably going to make this kick, especially once he got the first down. That's the most important part, right? And then just hope that you can try to drive down. I know everybody, especially Ricky, was saying, oh, well, you're telling me this offense with 30 seconds is going to be able to drive down the field. They know that the chances of that is slim, but they also know the chances of them blocking this kick or even this just guy missing it, again, especially once he got close, was also slim. So the reason I say, yes, it was the right call to let them score after the first down, because once he got that first down, he was already, I think, past the 20. That kick would have been like a 25 to 30-something yard. This kid, our kicker, I don't care how inconsistent he's been, he hadn't missed from that range. And for most kickers, that's nothing. And Alabama also had two timeouts. So what would have happened was Jeremy went down, and coaching actually says to go down, right? Anytime we sit in a meeting, what coaching says is Jeremy should have gone down to like the 1 yard line. They line up the next time. They get the ball centered in the middle of the field. They let the clock wind down. And then you kick the field goal and it's game over. That's literally what coaching analysts, that's what everything says. I know it's easy just to run in the end zone, but you see it time and time again. You also see that sometimes NFL teams will let guys score because South Carolina might not be built for that. I know they would have needed a whole touchdown out of field goal, but you'd be surprised. Like with 30 seconds, I know you don't have timeouts, but if you're working some of those quick outs, a guy like Lenora Sellers that has scramble ability, all you need, plus not to mention, I know we did that squib style kick or whatever the case was, but say you start on like the 25, if he scrambles for 15, you're already around like the 40 range. I mean, that dude's got a big arm. You set yourself up for maybe a Hail Mary. You got a guy like Nick Harbor who's 6'5". So you guys got to think about all these things. Like, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because one thing that really bothers me is when we have people, and no offense, I'm not talking about y'all, Tia, specific. I'm just saying in general. But when people go as far as, like, if you disagree with the coach, cool, but they're going as far as, like, calling a guy stupid and laughing, like, oh, he's a joke, he needs to be fired. And I'm, like, sitting there thinking, like, in reality, you guys are wrong. And it's crazy that so many people think they know more than a guy that gets paid millions of dollars, right, to do something and practice these things. These guys eat, sleep, and breathe the sport and have done it for years. We got to stop thinking we know more than all these people, man. That's all I'm saying. Because, like, the reality was, like he said, and he clarified, once Alabama got the first down, it was in their best interest to let them score. Because I'm telling you guys, I don't care about statistics. And, hey, like, if once he got the first down, it would have been a no more than a 30-yard field goal, Alabama would have centered the ball and it probably would have been a chip shot. Right? Now, I see Tia saying there's a lot of ifs in your argument. There's going to be a lot of ifs in everything. Like, again, like, no one, there's no sure answer. That's the thing. There's no sure answer. Like, technically, yeah, Alabama, they could have just let Bama make go for the field goal. But everything's always, hindsight's always 20-20 as well, though. I'm just telling you guys, when these teams meet and they go over these situations, the way they went about it is what any other coach and team would do. I'm just telling you guys, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, it was perfect that he did this. It did not work out. I'm just telling you guys from that perspective. So let's do this. I want to dive into this actual breakdown. I wanted just to bring that play up, and I think I still have his audio of him answering it real quick. I'll just play this for 2 seconds before we go to break. And then when we come back, I'll break down all my thoughts. We got my dad on here. Definitely want to get his thoughts. But, man, did I not have it anymore? I literally had the part where he clarified. I'll find it. I'll play it on the stream during the timeout. But when we come back, if you guys still don't understand that whole point, I'll try to clarify it a little bit more, because I was trying to, like, I know Ricky and Tia were definitely, they're stubborn on it. But I'm just telling you guys, from all the meetings that I've sat in terms of situational football, I'm telling you for a fact, that is standard. Like, what they did is normal. It's not, he's not a dumb coach. It was a smart decision given that we got the first down. The only thing I would argue is, like Mike said, it's a good point. One technically probably could have made that tackle before the first down, and it would have been like a high 30s kick. And yeah, I probably would have felt better about that. But again, if he's tackled in bounds, though, I mean, you're just hoping at that point that he misses a kick. The best case scenario would have been if one hit Bernard out of bounds, stopped the clock, you forced that field goal from fourth and whatever. But knowing Bama, I mean, as aggressive as we've been, I wouldn't be shocked if it was fourth and one. Hell, for all we know, DeBoer might have damn gone for it. Try to get the first down anyway. I doubt it, but still, I'm just being funny. But we have been really damn aggressive. All right, let's hit this timeout. We come back. We're finally diving into this breakdown. Alabama, South Carolina. You're going to get our thoughts right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide under 0.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
An odd salad. So contact Progressive's customer service by phone, app, or online. It's great and easy, just like salad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Hi. Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Ricky, I know you're on the line. I'm going to get to you, and I'll clarify a little bit more, but I'm not going to be as harsh as my dad was saying. I'm telling you for a fact. I'm trying to save face for you guys. Ask any football player, coach, whoever, and they will tell you the same thing, man. That's football 101. You know what I mean? Again, and it is a decision. You could just take the risk, but again, it just makes more sense in their situation at that point. Our kicker has not missed a field goal in that range. And after you got the first down, it would have been like a 30-yarder, center of the ball, and you have no chance at least, right? Letting us score at least gives you 30 seconds to say, hey, we got Lenora Sellers. Maybe he can come up with some crazy miracle play that's probably better than just letting them go down to 1 second and kicking a chip shot. So let me get in this breakdown real quick, Ricky, and we'll jump over to full lines. But I definitely want to do this and definitely get my dad's thoughts on this game because I know you guys have been waiting for it. Obviously, good, bad, ugly. There's a lot of bad, a lot of ugly. Let's just start with the bad first, right? Because defense was good. I'll get to them in a second. Offense could not find a rhythm. Something just seemed off. Ty wasn't as accurate as we've seen him the past 6 weeks, right? It was like he was just a step behind. He missed on throws that he typically doesn't miss on. So he obviously didn't have a great game. His numbers pretty much show that, right? I think he was 24, 43, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns. He didn't have any interceptions, but we did have fumbles that we'll talk about here in a minute. I will say this. The time of possession, it ends up being a lot more balanced by the end of the game. But up to about the fourth quarter, until we had some of those long drives, which we didn't have in this game, that was one thing that was uncharacteristic. Notice I used the word uncharacteristic. I talked about this last week. I said, South Carolina, watch them on tape. We should not lose this game unless we go and play uncharacteristic and we do some things. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But so we didn't have those sustainable drives. We didn't have the time of possession like we wanted. We had number of three and outs. That was uncharacteristic of us, right? Ty Simpson, the way he played, uncharacteristic. It's a common theme. You'll get where I'm going with this. We had people try to tell me that I'm tripping because I said the offensive line needs to continue to shore things up, be more consistent. Well, thank God you don't listen to those people and you listen to me, right? Because in this game, you got to see that. Now, I will give South Carolina's defense line credit. I was more focused on their edge guys, which those guys definitely had a big presence in this game, right? Dylan Stewart bringing a lot of pressure, 46, good player, had himself a sack. But I probably didn't give enough credit to the interior defensive lineman, right? Monkel Goodwine, he's a good player, but he transferred from here. But 93, he had himself a day, right? He was embarrassing our interior offensive line. We lost the battle. There's no way to put it. They dominated the line of scrimmage on that side of the football, right? Their defensive line, they dominated us up front. And that's why I stand firm by what I say. I don't listen to PFF numbers. I don't read this. I don't listen to people that just make podcasts and have no experience or whatever the case may be and try to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I watch the tape, and the tape shows that our offensive line needs to play better. That's just a fact. We need to get that shirt up. Now, luckily, we were able to figure some stuff out in the fourth quarter, right, offensively. But through the first three quarters, man, it wasn't it. Too many drop passes. I know a lot of people are only focused on Ryan, but there was – a number of drop passes from a number of guys. Again, we just seemed off offensively. We weren't clicking. And that's why I said, if South Carolina wins this game, it's because we go out there and we play uncharacteristic and we do things that we haven't been doing. And that's exactly what happened from an offensive standpoint. That was not how we've been playing the past 6 weeks, right? We could not establish a running game, which I guess that's kind of been a little consistent. We haven't really been solid there at all, but still, that was nowhere to be found. And then, once the passing game wasn't clicking, we obviously had major issues. And that's why I've been saying this. The extension of the running game are great until that also is not really clicking. And then when you become one-dimensional, it's a problem. And that's why we always say these things. You can't get overly excited when things are just looking perfect and we're throwing the ball over the field. This is why we talk about you still have to be able to have some type of running game. Because what did we say a few weeks ago? At some point, it will come back to bite you. And it almost came back to bite us. That's a fact. So we just got to get those things cleaned up. But I want to give South Carolina credit. For as poor as I thought we played in this game, I thought this was probably our second worst performance of the year outside of Florida State, mostly from an offensive standpoint. I will say South Carolina's defense impressed me. Their secondary players, they're good players, man. Swift, or I can't remember, maybe number four. Good, long, lengthy corner, man. He's a good player. Kilgore, good player. DQ, good kid from my high school. I mean, they're good players. The guys up front were good. The linebackers are decent as well. So I want to give them credit. I don't want to make it seem like it's like, oh, we just were uncharacteristic, completely, which was true, but they also did their part in helping force in that, bringing pressure. I told you guys that they were aggressive. They would bring a lot of blitz, whether it's from linebackers, secondary guys. The big sack fumble, they brought a cat blitz. I mean, and they executed it well. Now, those guys do a really good job, so I definitely want to tip my hat to their defensive unit. But remember the other thing that I said. Even if we play bad, I just don't think they have the offensive power to still be able to pull it out. Guys, that's exactly what happened. If that team had any type of offense that could really move the football and capitalize on a lot of the mistakes we made, especially in the first half, good chance we don't win that football game. Just going to be completely honest with you, right? I mentioned they didn't really have a running game. There was it's like they had, you know, pieces and, you know, here and there where they had some plays. But if you look at the numbers, it still wasn't there, right? Their offense just, they don't have enough to put together. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Like I said, like, I don't think they can put enough points on the board to still even be able to win this game unless we just played that bad. And that's why they almost won. But even then, they still weren't good enough offensively to capitalize on it, right? Offensive line for them played better than I expected. Probably helped having those guys back from injury. But again, you guys saw what they did. A lot of screen game. They tried to get Lenore Sellers involved. A lot of perimeter stuff, right? Jet sweeps in around. Same stuff we saw on tape. They hit that deep shot to Nick Harbert. Look, that's going to happen. You got a guy that's like one of the fastest guys in the country, 6'5". Cool. Outside of that, I mean, I'm pretty sure he led the team in receiving yards, and he had one catch, right? Lenoris led them in rushing yards with 67. I mean, it literally went exactly how I said probably would happen if it ended up being a close game. I said there would probably be a big turnover, especially on special teams. What happened, guys? Special teams turnover. So it's kind of crazy, man. It ended up really playing out like that. Good news is about our offense, we finally put it together at the end of the game. You know, two late touchdowns really saved things. Shout out to Jeremy Bernard. I said this on my post-game show. And this might be a hot take to some, but I think this is true. And trust me, you guys know I give Ty all the credit for everything he's done this year and he continues to do. And this is, I'm not saying this because he didn't have a great game Saturday. I'm saying this because if I had to choose an MVP right now for our team offensively, I might have to go Jeremy Bernard, man. It's called most valuable player. Talk about being the most consistent, talking about we don't have a running game, finding ways to get him involved as extensions. I mean, the guy just shows up time and time again in clutch moments. I mean, I don't know what more you can ask from this guy, right? Jeremy Bernard, I mean, to me, and obviously him and Ty are like up there neck and neck, but this guy, man, finds a way. And he's got favor. You know why? I think he was the one that put it together, like a Bible study worship night last night at the stadium. And it was packed out, by the way. So obviously God is showing him a lot of favor right now. But that's what I've had for our offense. Flipping over to defense real quick before I pass to my dad. They were the good in this game. Defense played solid. I know they gave up points, was like the first drive or whatever. It is what it is, right? You're getting your rhythm. Cool. But you talk about guys stepping up to the plate, you know, putting points on the board with that pick six early on. That was huge. Finding ways to get stops. You know, we were put in some tough spots as a defense. We stepped up big. Guys on the D-line just keep playing better. Seeing James Smith really come along, right? You already know, you know, the big powerhouse you got in the middle with Big Tim. But just seeing him in action, right? Clogging things up, right? Just being physical at the line of scrimmage, allowing those linebackers to do their job. Those guys are playing a lot better, right? We know Deontay Lawson had the big fumble later in the game, but he's been playing a lot better. I still think, you know, he might be behind a little bit of a gear, maybe from the injury, whatever the case may be, but he's been playing better. I thought he had a really solid game. 41-10, they continue to improve as well. Had some plays in the game as well. And I thought secondary was solid, but just overall, man, I mean, the only thing was, yeah, was there some times we struggled to contain Sellers, miss some tackles? Yeah, but I mean, you're expecting that. We talked about how talented this guy was and that he led the country in missed tackles for a quarterback. So that was going to be part of it. But I think the most important thing is this defense, man, one thing that we can bet on is that they will show up in big moments. And you're talking about, you know, South Carolina having the football, an opportunity to move the football down the field and go score and win the game. What does the defense do? They force the fumble. They get the ball back to the offense. And they basically killed all hope for that South Carolina football team. So, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know the defense, we talk about every week, they get a lot of attention sometimes, a lot of flack for certain things, you know, whether it's some of the explosives here and there, this and that. But one thing I think it is, man, I think we just finally got to start accepting the fact that, look, man, it's going to happen. You're playing against good players, good teams. But the most important thing is they do a good job limiting points. And then when they get put in tough positions and their backs against the wall, they do a hell of a job to get stops. And I feel like each week, man, they just get better and better. They've been forcing turnovers. They've been doing a lot. Pass rush has been better. D-Law stepped up, got some pressure on the quarterback. 42 continues to show his presence, getting pressure on the quarterback, looking better and better as the edge defender, setting that edge. We're looking really solid and sound on defense, right? Not perfect yet, right? Nobody's perfect, but I'm really pleased with the progress that they've made, and I'm really pleased with their performance from Saturday and continuing to step up when we need them to. And I think they look solid as well. So that's what I've got overall. Ree, we'll do this. We'll combine breaks because I want to get my dad's thoughts to piggyback off of mine. And it looks like he just got to a spot where he's not whipping the big Cadillac anymore. Tell me what you thought about this game. Happy belated birthday, by the way. I know you wanted that as a birthday present. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But what'd you think overall?
Well, you know, just listening to you break down Bama. First of all, I shout out to Bama. Great win in a hostile atmosphere. I was on the sidelines, had a chance to say hello to Chap, say hello to Jay Mose, and Jeff Allen came up, hugged me, and a lot of players come up dapping me. I guess they probably seen this before and knew who I was. And shout out to those folks from Bama that came up, showed me love before the game and all that. So it was good. Because I'm a Bama fan, except for, on Saturday. Let's just be honest. I hear what you're saying. Bama shouldn't have won this game. South Carolina kicked their tails, period. South Carolina lost this game. Bama didn't win the game. South Carolina lost the game. And what you can't do against good football teams is give them opportunities, right? The 14 points that they got, South Carolina gave them 14 points. You know, with Zoll bobbling the ball and the guy's pitching, that's just 7 points. Good throw, he just bobbled her. Give me seven, right? South Carolina gave them the game winner by Lenoris. Thought the whistle had blown, he's gonna put the ball out. Dylan, or whoever the guy's name was, stripped the ball, and they just basically gave them the win. Okay?
Didn't he do that last year? He put the ball on the ground when y'all had a chance last year,
yep,
too, man.
Yep. And then our kicker missed a field goal. Then one of the touchdowns the North made, there was a bad call and a penalty that I'm holding. I mean,
You dropped a clear interception, too. We took a shot on second down, and I mean, we threw it right to him.
Sometimes you need luck. Sometimes, let's think about you. You got to survive these games, right? Bama survived. But if we're just honest, South Carolina watched this film yesterday, and I'm sure all of them, they had buckets in the meeting room for them to throw up in. Because there is no way that Bama should have won this game. No way. South Carolina should have won this game by double digits. So, and I'm not just saying that because I'm just I was there. I was on the sideline. I'm talking to players. The reason why I said to y'all last week, I said I didn't expect South Carolina to win, but I said this to you. South Carolina has enough pieces to beat Alabama. Y'all remember me saying that? And I told you that. I told you about the defensive line. I told you about Dylan Stewart. I told you about Thomas. I told you about D.Q. Smith. I told you about Kilgore. I told you about those corners. I told you about the defense. And one thing that South Carolina went into this game, knowing this fact, they matched up very well against Alabama. Why? Same thing I told those players on the sideline. Cade Proctor couldn't block them. That left the right tackle couldn't block them. We had a huge advantage there. And so, And I was right there in the midst of the huddle of the defensive line when they came up and flipped off. I actually gave 46, and I told you this. I did it 2 weeks in a row. Certain moves, how to beat Cade Proctor, which he got sacked.
Come on. This dude, were you a bull now?
No.
Oh, hell no.
I'm not a bull.
Man,
I'm just a player that can tell a player, work this move, because Cade Potter would open up the inside all day long. Yeah, that's what he does, right? But anyway, here's my point. South Carolina should be upset with themselves for letting this game slip away. South Carolina beat Alabama except for the last, but you got to finish the game, and they didn't finish. Defensively, I'm disappointed that they let them go 80 yards in that critical third down where they had them way backed up. Then they called a penalty, and then they still gave them the first down. They just made some crucial mistakes. You count on one hand of the mistakes, and you go, it wasn't for that. South Carolina went beat Alabama by double digits, right? But Alabama, give them the credit. They won the game, and they made the plays that they had to make. That's football. That's what happens. Yeah. Now, that being said, I'm concerned about Alabama. And the reason why I said Alabama to me may not be a championship team, because they're going to face a defense like this again. When they get to the playoffs, they're going to face people that's going to be able to give them havoc. And they didn't come off looking like the number three team in the country. I know you give them the defense love, but South Carolina had moved the football. South Carolina had opportunity. They just shot themselves in the foot. And so they should be concerned. Yeah, you win. That's a big thing. You win. But there's a lot of concern, especially on that offensive line of Alabama. They are not good, period.
Well,
they're not good.
We got to hit this timeout. We'll keep talking about it, especially during this break. When we come back, I got some clips I'm going to pull up as well. We'll go to the phone lines. But there's a couple things I actually am in agreement with you on that you just said. I'll say which the ones those are when we come back. For hour number two right here on the Miller's Edge, time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama, South Carolina. We'll do it with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com, and we'll take your phone calls. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston, all starting at 2 p.m. on the Monday edition of The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
now and get $3,000 over book value only at Tuscaloosa Mazda. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Based on KBB Fair Trade Value on select models with approved credit. See dealer for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Chris Perfect.
The NBA informed its team the league has begun a process to review policies following the federal charges against Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups, aiming to enhance monitoring programs to identify betting activities of concern. The NBA also said in the memo that they, quote, "We believe there is more that can be done from a legal and a regulatory perspective in regards to the integrity of their game." NFL news, veteran wide receiver Tyler Lockett reportedly set to sign with the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday, reuniting Tyler Lockett with his former teammate quarterback Geno Smith. Bills defensive tackle Ed Oliver is feared to have suffered a torn bicep. He's set to undergo an MRI on Monday, but could be sidelined indefinitely. Browns rookie linebacker Carson Swechinger suffered a high ankle sprain. MRI revealed not believed to be a major injury. Giants running back Cam Scadaboo underwent surgery for his dislocated ankle. He is done for the season.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy and cool through tonight. A few scattered showers are possible. The high today 61, the low tonight 52. For tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A chance of widely scattered showers during the day. The high tomorrow 64. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Man, we've been breaking down this 29-22 victory over the Gamecocks. Hell of a game, man. Really close one. Looked like South Carolina was about to be able to storm the field, and Alabama's defense, specifically Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan, I don't even know if he realized he was laying on the ball there. Get the ball back, give it back to the offense. Ryan Grubb pulls out that number two pencil we always talk about, man, and he dials it up. I'll tell you this, man, we've got some plays, some sure point scoring plays when we need them. It's kind of crazy. We'll be stuttering and sputtering, you know, throughout the game. Our drives aren't looking great, and it's really no execution, right? We left a lot of meat on the bone. There's a lot of misplays in this game, right? Some drops, some missed throws, whatever the case may be. But when we need a play, best believe you can rely on Ryan Grubb to call something up and get his guys in position to make it. But again, just some quick numbers real quick to recap everything. Ty Simpson, not his best performance, but saved his best for last. Those last drive or two or whatever, finally were able to, you know, get some momentum going and move the football down the field. 24-43, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Did have that fumble off that cat blitz. Again, I will pull up some clips here in a minute so we can watch. Now I'll go over what exactly went on in these plays. Just give me some time. Lenora Sellers, 18-32, one touchdown, interception. I mean, dude broke I don't know how many tackles, but I mean, the dude he's a great player, man. Had some missed throws as well, but it's in terms of his athletic ability, man, it's second to none. He also led them in rushing yards with 67. Jam Miller, 10 carries, 26 yards. Man, we've got to find a way to get our running game going, especially when you play on the road. Daniel Hill, shout out to him. He was the leading receiver, 76 yards. They always talk about the soft hands that he has. We saw that on display. In this game, Keon Keeley with the game-winning sack, man, love that for him. Really cool to see him, and he's got to work. We got to work on his celebration, man. You can always tell when a guy's fresh out there because celebration game was terrible. So I'm gonna work with him on that. But nonetheless, he's out there making plays when we needed them. And Bray Hubbard leading the team in tackles with 8 on the day. Let's do this. We talked about it ourselves. Let's hear you guys. 205-342-9904. We got Ricky up first. I know Ricky got this question. So hopefully Ricky's got – Ricky, you got to be coachable. Please tell me you're going to be coachable. Ricky, what you got for us?
Man, just – all right. I already know that you got on me a little bit yesterday. I'm just trying to – I'm still just trying to understand. And in my bad, I didn't mean to – I might have been the one that called Shane Beamer stupid. Passively.
Oh, you good, bro.
I'm still trying to like grasp it because I actually pulled up the play like while I was on the phone, and the ball got snapped to Jeremy behind our tall T field goal range, like behind field goal range. So I guess my question to you is like, because it wasn't that I thought he shouldn't go down, but I think everything you guys said made more sense last season when there was way more time on the clock for South Carolina to do something. Like, I just thought the game was over regardless if they were going down, waited out the clock, or scored a touchdown. Like, I just thought the game was over. Because by the time Jerm got into the end zone, it was 34 seconds left. When South Carolina actually got the football from the kickoff, it got down to 29 seconds. And they had to get down 90 yards within the 10, and they had to get down 90 yards to score a touchdown. Hold on.
But there's no guarantee that they're going to be inside the 10. Technically, they could have ran that for a kick return touchdown. I mean, that dude's one of the fastest guys in the country. And then their punt returner has like 3 punt returns, not kick returns, for touchdowns. You see what I'm saying? You're jumping the head. They can't forecast and say they knew they were going to be inside the 10 and have to do a 90-play drive. They could have brought it out to the 35-yard.
But to your point, you don't know if they would have made that field goal either.
I understand that point. No one knows anything. But you can't throw in the equation the 10-yard line thing without even knowing that was going to be the case.
Ricky, it's 6-1 half above the other, bro. Coaching, you make decisions. I can tell you all these scenarios are gone over in practice that you can imagine. They understand all these scenarios. So as a coach, a lot of times it's fear. Okay, listen, we got a Heisman-type quarterback. We got an NCAA world-renowned speedster that can get behind the defense, and he's 6'5". So coach is thinking this. If they get the first down, it's pretty clear. He instructed his defenders, let them score, right? We down 7. We get the ball. Maybe we get good field position on a fair catch, or we got great returns, Christian just alluded to, right? We might get the ball at 35, 40-yard line. 30-something seconds is a lot of time. So, and the clock stops at first downs. So if you can get back there and you throw a first down or out route and you at the 50 or the 45, now you got a couple of chances to throw some Hail Marys to some tall, physical, athletic receivers. That's all they have. Or you can just say, let them run the clock down. Now we got one chance. We're hoping that he misses a short chip shot field goal. And because they had no timeouts. So when you look at it, you go, let them score. We got a big-time quarterback, big arm. We got big receivers. We pretty much given them the game. But we have one slimmer of hope, and that's all they had to go off of. So it's not that he's stupid. It's just you got to weigh options. Now, if things would have worked differently, then he'd have came out being like a genius, right? Then scored and kicked the extra point and overtime won the game. Everybody talking about how great of a call that was. But it didn't work. Now everybody said how stupid that was. But we see this all the time. But we just understand you have to make a decision. And as a Bama fan, bro, you just shouldn't be worried about that. Use your energy and say, you're 7-1. You're number 3 in the country.
Why are we worried
about that last play? Yeah.
Well, here's my thing, right? So
I know why you're worried about it. The spread was 6.5 points, I think.
Oh, man, I didn't bet this weekend. That wasn't me.
Hey, the spread was 6.5 points, and that giving that touchdown made it 7. So a lot of people probably lost a lot of money on that play. So maybe that's why people were up in arms about it.
It wasn't me, man. I took out. If I were, I would have took South Carolina plus the points for their homecoming. I'm just saying. But for me, like, let me just ask you guys this.
Well, hold on. Before I forget this, let me throw this in there too. Say South Carolina did miss a field goal, which again, once it's like a 20, again, the kid has not been. I don't care how young or inexperienced, he hasn't missed a field goal. I'm talking about Alabama's kicker. He hasn't missed a field goal inside the 40, by the way. And once they got the first down, it would have been like a 25, 30-yard field goal. I mean, like, and again, Bama had 2 timeouts. They could have ran more plays to move it up a little bit more and get the ball centered, making it about as easy of a kick as possible for him, number one. Number two, if Bama does miss that kick, Ricky, more than likely, like, it's overtime, right? Not more than likely it is because we're going to wind the clock down. It's overtime. Do you think they felt confident knowing we finally hit our stride too in overtime? And there's other things too involved too, maybe that he's thinking like, all right, if we go to overtime, who knows still. But again, 20, like my dad said, that's about as clean of a answer as you're going to get. But go ahead.
Well, let me just ask you guys this, right? South Carolina, I thought, did a great job like putting like pressure on Ty Simpson like the whole game. Mm-hmm. Jeremy takes the snap. If you put pressure on Jeremy and you get him going down the sidelines before he gets to field goal range and you get him out of bounds, or if he takes a snap, which I don't think he would, he probably would just maneuver or figure out a way to go down maybe a little bit within field goal range. I still wouldn't have thought, to me, that wouldn't have been a bad play. Like, I just thought, like, they had a better chance of not necessarily blocking the field goal, but Tossie's never been in, like, that situation before of a game-winning, like, field goal kick on the road, and I'd argue a very hostile Gamecock environment. So I just... I thought the game was over either way. I just thought the better chance, was to put.
In hindsight, 2020. Like, and then again, they weighed those options. I mean, they definitely thought about that. But I'm looking at the picture you screenshot, and I got a couple of notes. One is, again, even if he got tackled where one would have tackled him at, the ball would have been inside the 20. Again, best case scenario would have been maybe you tackle him out of bounds before the first down, the clock stops. And it ends up being, if it's on the 18, like a 28 or so yard field goal, whatever, around 30 yard field goal or so. And you hope that he misses it. And say he does, and then you've got, you know, 20 some seconds on the clock, 30 seconds or whatever, try to do whatever to get a field goal maybe yourself, and then you go to overtime. Sure. But again, I think people are just forgetting that the coaching point was, if they're getting the first down, anything without the first down, he's telling you they wanted to force a field goal. But once Alabama made the first down, that is when it clicked to the next step. It says, let them score. That's what we're trying to explain. We're not saying y'all are wrong by saying, I get everybody's like, oh, well, I wouldn't trust Talty even at 30 yards. They didn't really either. That's what they were saying. It was before the first down. Now, to that play, you got to understand, that's a great play call by Ryan Grubb. Y'all are just looking at Jeremy Bernard and Wildcat, but not realizing they've got Ty Simpson on the come around like he's taking the ball in reverse. That's grabbing all the attention of everybody. Why? Because you got a quarterback that's acting like he's about to get the ball, like almost like on a throwback or something like that. So that little probably had everybody on like, you know, a step behind is a great play design. And South Carolina just didn't play it well, right? Again, I'm looking at everybody, like the second level guys. They all got fooled by it, and you only had, and everybody else was blocked up. You had one guy to make that tackle on a one-on-one with Jeremy Bernard. And, you know, at that point, he felt like he wouldn't, you know, the guy was going to get the first down.
So defensively, what do you call there?
Defensively, what do you call there? I mean, I don't even know exactly. I mean, you got to remember, they don't – it's not like they say, oh, they're in Wildcat, we're automatically doing this, unless – I can't remember exactly unless they had a time to check. I don't know. I'm just saying, I mean, it's 3rd and 10.
Well, everybody expect to run. Here's the thing. Let me put my defense coordinator headset on fire for the scenario. It's 3rd and 10. They're not going to throw the ball. They can do all what we call window dressing. That was so Ryan Grubb gave him a bunch of window dressing. Let's go. Wildcat formation. Let's put Ty out there. Let's do some things to kind of make them think a little bit, because we know South Carolina is going to be in some form of man defense. Because why? They are expecting run. They don't think Alabama's going to throw the football. So you look at the front here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys basically in this box right here, right? 9 with these two guys. So they are expecting run. So they just didn't do a good job of, so you look at the line, they're basically running to the sideline, giving him cutback option and things like that. They don't defend the perimeter well. You look at the end, I don't know if that's Stewart or 46, wherever that is. I think that's Stewart. He should be a more of a force guy. They got two tight ends on that side, right? You got to be able to make this ball cut back. Because look at, you're in the boundary. First of all, the ball is in the boundary. 6 got to do a better job of changing the field, right? So maybe knocking your guy back, making him come cut back on the inside. Look at your help. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys are sitting there.
They had no edge.
Opposite of the boundary, and then you give up the edge. You can't do that. That's on him. So they didn't defend the play at all to stop the first down. It should have been. This should be a dead in the water play. Now, offensively, they could have an option. He could, give it back to Ty, but they're not going to do that. I mean, you're not going to try that kind of stuff this point in the game. So they weren't very smart. They didn't defend very well, and they didn't carry out their responsibility. And so once they got to this level, they said, you know what, let him score, because this is the only option now that we got, because it's going to be a chip shot of a now look at this. Is better. Look at number 6 right here. That was now look at the lineman. They're turning and running. There they go.
Yeah, it's pin and pull, right? So you
look at number 6. Look, he's beat.
Everybody gets reached and they got pullers. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Did you see, look at the back.
Look at zero.
He's getting influenced by that. Even one is slow because he's looking at Ty. That's what I was saying. I mean, it's a good play call by Ryan Grubb. I mean,
look at number 7 eyes. I want you to look at number 7 eyes. He's watching Ty. He's watching Ty.
Yes,
number 0 is watching Ty. See, he should be cutting right this big old hole right here. 6 beat. Look at the helmet. You look at the head position. His hands are inside. He's hooked. Look at 7.
And he's they've inside. Got the pullers.
And you got a receiver cutting them off. This play is dead in the water. So all you got now is DQ Smith. It's a touchdown, really. If he misses the tackle, it's a touchdown. So they were told, oh, he's going to get the first down. Let him score. Bad defense. Horrible defense. Right, number 6 should be knocking this. This is a freaking tight end. I would never let no tight end block me. Look at this. You are 265-pound defensive end. Look at this. Look at it. Look
so
at
then
it.
We saying the same Horrible thing. Defense. You agree with me then?
No, I'm saying it's bad defense.
Well, that's my thing. Is because I personally didn't think. They should have let them score. Then you explained to me just now, this is bad. Like, this play should have been dead in the water at 30.
No. We're saying let them score because, brother, look, this is a Red Sea.
Stop it right there. Freeze. You got your center. You got Jeremy Bernard. And you got, this is the last, number 1 is the last line of this. Look, there's 10 yards between these guys. He's going to get the first down. Right? He's going to get the first down. So, coach already told him, let him score. If it's clear cut, let them score, because the only hope we got now is giving the ball. At least we get a shot. And that's all they were thinking. But the start, number 6, number 0, need to have their tail. Back in the old days, coach would have kicked them in the butt, because you don't read your keys. This critical play, critical.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Your best player does not show up. Your best player does not show up, and that's a problem. And hopefully they discuss that in meetings. That's a problem. Mm.
There you go, Ricky.
Man, I just thought the game was over regardless of what happened. Like,
No, so we agree, brother. We agreeing with you. Again, we're talking a difference of maybe Bama had a, or excuse me, South Carolina had a 1% chance, and then maybe it went to 2%, given, you know, they got at least the opportunity to get the ball back in their hands, so at least try to tie it with 37. We're agreeing. No one's saying it's like, oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to win the game regardless after that, but that's all they had.
I'm with y'all. I do think, yes, theoretically speaking, you do have a chance to do something, even if it's 29 seconds left, you're in the 10, got no more timeout, versus so with seeing the obvious field goal game winning kick. But I guess we do all just kind of like agree. I don't know if I would have let them score for a touchdown. I'd much rather you
6-1
half a dozen. Yeah, I mean, Ricky, we could go in circles all day, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, again, Bam was going to win the game 98.9% of the time, regardless whether they kicked it or let them. It's just a matter of a coach saying, hey, at least let us get the ball back and just try. Like a desperation thing at the end. That's all, bro. We can agree on that. All right.
I agree.
Ricky, we appreciate you, brother.
You're a smart man, Ricky.
Ricky's smart, man. We're not saying he's wrong. We're just explaining that anybody saying a kid is an idiot. That's what he did. All right. Let's hit this timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got more calls lined up. I got the tape pulled up, so I'll show you guys a couple clips. I want to point some things
out. Are the perfect play call for your party. So before kickoff, remember that football starts with Foo. Foo Sackley's, proud partner of the Crimson Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the...
Thank you, because without the donors, St. Jude wouldn't be here.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
And that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy and cool through tonight. A few scattered showers are possible. The high today 61. The low tonight 52. For tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A chance of widely scattered showers during the day. The high tomorrow 64. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Beef Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we got the tape pulled up, so we'll be kind of weaving in and out of that, talking about some of these clips. But in the meantime, we'll also be going to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Gentlemen, how's it going today?
What's up, Smitty?
Another day, another dollar. Hit the speaker by mistake. But one thing, though, I give Alabama credit because nothing went right on offense and they still won the game. I would never apologize for winning. But I thought it was smart for Germ to take the touchdown. But I think Connor Talty was also happy Germ got the touchdown. Because his pants would have been yellow when he got on that field. Because people don't
y'all ain't
understand.
Got no faith in my man. Y'all ain't got no faith in my man. I mean, he's perfect from inside 40, man. I mean, I know he's a little shaky, but I mean,
hey, sorry.
I don't know. I'm gonna say I had faith in him. I had faith in him.
But this ain't the time to have faith. Sometimes you can't have faith in everything. But here's the thing. When people talk about chip shot field goals, nothing is guaranteed. I'm going to go way back here. Y'all remember that playoff game from Dallas and Seattle? Dallas had a chip shot field goal to take the lead. Guess what happened? Tony Romo fumbled the snap. The kick could be blocked. Or the kicker just shanked it because he shook. We see NFL kickers miss extra points, and the extra point ain't nothing but a 33-yard kick. So why risk that? And like y'all said, 30 seconds is a long time because all you need is one deep pass, you get a pass interference in your position for a Hail Mary or a game-time field goal. So I think they did the right thing, and the staff did a good job managing that last drive, making South Carolina burn their timeout. And I think that's something right there. But I'll say this. Where the offense messed up at, and this is where the strategy part is, the offense didn't perform well, so they never made Lenore Sellers a pure drop-back passer. He was still able to play his run-around improvisational backyard game. And we know that kid is hard to tackle. But if you handle your business and go up a couple of scores, then he may not be able to do all that running around and may have to drop back, if you get what I'm saying. I hope I ain't talking wrong on that, but we know how that is from quarterback.
Which one? You said on which one?
Because where they missed so many opportunities on offense. For instance, right? Ryan Williams dropped that pass.
South Carolina or Alabama?
South Carolina. Like, not make – because when Alabama missed struggling on offense, it kept Lenore Sellers from having – Yep. And with Lenore Sellers, right, if you go up a couple scores, maybe he can't do his run around. He has to be a drop back pass. And I think that's the case because, remember, Alabama miscues also helped them. Ryan Williams dropped that fourth down pass on the money. Next play, deep pass for a touchdown. Would that have happened if he had caught the pass? And I think what people got to understand, South Carolina has a dude on defensive line pass rusher who could be the number one pick in the draft if someone doesn't take a quarterback when he comes out, Dylan Stewart. They got some guys.
Brian Thomas. I mean,
he will be in the league.
He's got 5 sacks on the year now. He's actually the team leader in sacks. And I was even impressed. 93. I don't know. I got their depth chart right here. Who is 93 for South Carolina? He made himself some money, boy. Our guards made him look like damn.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, he's much bigger than Aaron Donald, but I meant just how disruptive he was. I mean, I thought he was in the backfield. Oh, Nick Barrett, so he's a redshirt senior, but, man, he was a good player as well. I mean, he was all over the place. Tackle for loss. I mean, we had no answer for him. But so I want to give them credit. I mean, they're a good football team.
They play good.
They play really good, especially on the defensive side. And when my dad says, like, oh, they should have won, he's saying, given how we played, if they would have capitalized, and I'm not going to necessarily disagree with them. I mean, because if I do personally feel like if we played, because I said this during the break for our radio listeners, the two teams like Missouri and South Carolina that we played that really gave us a tough one and came down and we're on the road. I get that's part of it, but the other part was they had really good defensive play. They were aggressive. They forced pressure. They made us uncomfortable, and we saw how it affected our offense. The thing that those teams also have in common, they didn't have what it takes on the offensive side of the football to capitalize. I know Missouri did on the ground, which we did a nice job stopping, but through the air, we all saw Bo Prabil that he was seeing ghosts, terrible throws, interceptions. You get what I'm saying? South Carolina, I know they had some good on offense at times, but we knew going into the game, they don't score many points. They don't have a great running game, and they don't really have a real pass game. The passing leader was that one play by Nick, what's his name? Nick
Harbor.
Yeah. And so that's why I do personally think that if you're an Alabama, you know, coach, fan, whatever the case may be, we just have to get that cleaned up. So when we do face adversity offensively like that, right, we just have to understand that if we're playing a team that can capitalize on that with their offense, that could be a little bit of an issue down the road when we start playing some of these teams that are a little bit more balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, Christian? I know Ty didn't have his best game because, hey, this is football. Everyone's going to have a stinker. That's how it is.
For sure.
This ain't a video game. But the thing that Ty impressed me with was all that pressure. He still maneuvered the pocket as best as he could. And I thought, hey, he got some good passes off. He missed some, but he got something like that Ryan when he dropped. He got hit and still put on the money in bought time. So I think that's a good sign of a quarterback. But funny story, like my friend, he knows about Caden Proctor. But he hit me up. He said, man, who's 75? That guy's a turnstile. I started laughing. But I just think that, like, with this team, I don't think they're a national championship team. I'm just happy making the playoff and seeing what happens because it is an elimination tournament. You just have to get in. And I think people got to adjust the expectations of modern college football. You have less possessions now. Team talent a little spread out. You heard a couple of guys say former Alabama transfer on South Carolina side who are good players. You don't have that depth like you used to. And so maybe we wouldn't have played London Simmons this year. You know, he's coming on. If I forgot his name, Woodbine, I think his last name, if he would have stuck around. Now, that kid's a good player, you know. But I just think that fans got to understand, it's okay to just win. Every game is not going to be a blowout. This ain't 2015 anymore. And I remember Saban's last year, Alabama, they had a struggle to beat a 4-8 Arkansas team at home. You know, it's just the way of the world. A win is a win. And I'll say this before I run there and get to camp. I don't know if you've been on social media. Boy, these Big Ten fans, they whining to my SEC bias of this. And my thing is, okay, our slogan is it just means more. With them, is we whine more. Guys, Ohio State's number one in the country. Indiana's number two in the country. Oregon's top 10. No one's complaining that you don't mandate a non-conference Power 14. But when we play Citadel, they get mad. How about y'all in Indiana? Y'all want to chant, we want Bama. Ohio State is in your conference. So if we fell off this bad, why are people still chanting to play us?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. Once we get in the postseason, we'll find out. I mean, I don't know how someone doesn't watch the SEC and understand, like, we've got so much depth in terms of quality teams, man. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand, but they'll find out. And then what sucks is sometimes when we get to the postseason, these teams are beat up. A lot of them kind of lose that motivation because they went from being a team that had high hopes, and by the time they're a three-loss team, they're in a bowl game, they don't care as much. And then people start trying to judge it based off of that, but they don't understand on a week-to-week basis what it's like. But, Smitty, we appreciate you, brother.
Take it easy, good brother.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Good deal. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head east for SEC action against South Carolina. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online.
The Crimson Tide. Sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
8:33 Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. I believe we have, who's up next? I'm going to just, Blueberry Steve up next. Blueberry Steve, you still with us?
I am.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you doing, guys?
Good, man. Good to hear from you. How's everything?
Oh, fantastic. It's just going to switch over to Bluetooth in a second. I just got into my... I have to say a couple of quick things. First of all, hello?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, okay. Good. It's on Bluetooth now. First of all, bonjour, Corey. I'm sorry that your team lost. I'm a huge Alabama fan, as you guys know. But my second favorite team is the Gamecocks, because I've been down to Columbia many times. In fact, one of my favorite barbecue places is this small place. They have two or three locations in Columbia called Maurice's Piggy Park. You know that?
100%, man. Grew up going to those for sure.
Okay. I do wish that, you know, the University of South Carolina would change the name of the team to the Fighting Roosters, because as one of Ryan's callers said, we're going to beat the Cocks, and
we had Reagan. He was having a great time with that on Friday too.
Yeah, well, Jumbo was the one who said it first on Ryan's show. But anyways, listen, I'm far from trying to be presumptuous or question Corey's knowledge. I have to say, you know, great teams find a way to win no matter what. It's true. It's true, you know, the beginning of the game, the three and outs at the beginning, and just, you know, I mean, South Carolina, the Gamecocks, they had the right formula to try and beat Bama, but we overcame that. We overcame that, number one, and number two, we're going to learn from it. As Corey said, we're going to run into trouble if we play like that. And yeah, for sure we will, but we're going to learn from it. And the other thing is that Ryan Grubb chose the right play at the right moment when he needed to win the game.
He definitely did. Uh-huh. And like I said on my post game show, I mean, at some point you have to expect Alabama's probably going to hit a wall, right? I mean, we've had a lot of energy, a lot of momentum the last few weeks. I mean, you talk about a final game before a bye week, it's the fifth straight game in a row, quality opponent, right? You expect there to probably be a little bit of, you know, some challenges. But like you said, the most important thing that was that they were able to overcome, though, they just have to make sure coming out of the bye week, you come out healthy and you get back to work and ramp that intensity back up and understand. I mean, just because LSU doesn't have a coach, just because Oklahoma, you know, dropped another one. I mean, these teams are still coming to play for something, and it's got to be ready to roll when they come back.
Absolutely. But I'm very confident. I'm very confident. A lot of what Corey said was correct. Okay. But, I don't think South Carolina, like, they handed the game. They didn't hand the game to us. We won the game when we had to. I mean, certain plays were just phenomenal. Certain plays were horrible. I mean, but I'm very, very, very optimistic, because great teams, as you know, I'm sure, from your experience, Christian, great teams find a way to win.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely some things we got to get cleaned up. But like you said, man, the big thing is that we found a way to win. Hey, Blueberry Steve, we appreciate it. You got to get this last time out and stay on schedule. But appreciate you calling. Good to hear from you. I know it's been a while.
Right. Roll Tide. Well, I listen to you guys all the time. I don't call in too often, but Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Take care, man. Good deal. All right. Quick timeout. We come back. We keep on Rolling Tide. 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-EJR.com,
where you pick it out, and we'll work it out. On select models with approved credit plus tax, registration, and dealer fees. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are bright and early at 7 a.m. and the race kicks off at 8. 2 days of community, energy, and inspiration. Don't miss it. The Hunter Whitley Butterfly Initiative, running for hope, flying for change.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. I think we got Bryce on the line. Bryce, you with us?
Yeah. Is POP with us?
I think you might have done something to him, Bryce. Every time you call, man, he gets off the line like right before you get up.
Man, quit hating, Christian. I just wanted to shout out to him after belated birthday, and all the great people were born in October. Everybody knows
there you
that.
Go. Are you an October guy?
Yeah, I turned 65 the first.
Oh, well, happy belated. But sorry, man, missed that.
Yeah, and POP was right. I mean, I'm going to keep it real simple. We got outplayed and got outcoached until the last two drives. You know, I'm going to keep it simple. I mean, it is obvious. South Carolina, we made plays to win the game. However, that's a sign of a good football team. But I'm glad we got an off week. We got a lot of things we got to work on and shore up.
For sure. No, I agree. I will say, I mean, they definitely outplayed us for a number of spots, especially, man, like their defense, man. I was impressed. I mean, that honestly was one of the better defenses that we've definitely seen this year. And I want to give them their respect. I mean, I know we didn't play great, but you do have to give them a lot of credit on that side of the football. I mean, even on the offense side of the ball, I mean, you knew they weren't going to be excellent, but I thought they found ways to try to make stuff out of some stuff, but they just don't have everything there. But, no, I mean, they're a solid team, man. I mean, and we knew it was going to end up being a dogfight.
I told you. I told you, Christian, I didn't like this game all year. And that 11 and a half, that line was real stinky. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, Christian.
I kept finding myself, I'm like watching the tape. I'm like, man, we should be able to go in this game. And if we play the way we've been playing, I mean, we should handle business. But that's why I kept saying.
But we didn't play that way.
Slow down a little bit. Exactly. And that's why I said, I need to slow down a little bit. Because I'm like, we're probably due for a performance where we kind of sputter a little bit. And sure enough, that ended up happening.
Well, you know, Ty did miss some throws. However, there was a lot of drop balls, too. But you got to hats off to the defense that they didn't hope for them field goals and got touchdowns. Hats off to the defense. They did show up and play certain plays, and they made a play to win the game. You know, you got that fumble. That's huge. The good teams, that's what they do. That's the way Nick Saban's team was. You find a way to win, you know. This should carry us a long way, because not every game's going to be pretty. You know, you're going to have the buzzer ones in there. You know, I can't remember who y'all was in 15 or 13 that we won a game, but it wasn't pretty. And I can't remember. Was it Ole Miss or did they beat us that year?
In 2015, they beat us that year.
Well, there was some 13 or 15. We had a game. Maybe it was a Tulane or something that we played, and we didn't look good at all. But we won the game, like 26-10 or something like that, 13.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's just going to happen. Especially in today's game. Yeah. I'm not too sure, honestly, but I just know in today's game, I mean, that's why you just got to be careful looking at records, especially a team like South Carolina. I mean, like, if you watch the tape, I mean, they definitely struggle, but there's some highlights there, and they definitely capitalize on that stuff. But we also, I mean, I'm looking at this play right now. I mean, it's 3rd and 11. And Ty just misses Jeremy Bernard. If he catches this, it's going for 6, right? He's got nothing but grass. So,
you
learn from those. Yeah, but you learn from these types of games for sure. We just have to understand. I mean, moving forward, I still stand by what I said. I mean, I feel like we still have yet to play a team other than maybe Georgia that really had that the defense, or excuse me, an offense that was capable enough to complement really good defensive play. And that's when, you know, I think we might be in a little bit more of a bind.
We still haven't played our best game. It's still out there. Yeah, that's where you got to look positive at. We haven't played our best game. I mean, this is probably our worst game on offense we played other than Florida State. I mean, Ty,
I agree.
This is probably his worst game, but you got to have those. You know, that's just part of it. However, like I said, the defense doesn't hold them to field goals. we're going out there with a loss. And POP's happy. He's really – but he hurt my feelings just hanging up every time I get on the phone, Kristen.
I'm going to have to ask him, man. I don't know what happened, Bryce. I mean, that's your guy. No, I'm just playing. No, he said before you got on, he said he had to run and do an errand real quick, but – I'll tell him you said happy belated birthday.
Hey, I hate that South Carolina had to lose, but I would have been rooting for him if we wasn't playing Alabama. Hey, I'm going to tell you something real quick, real funny. At work, I got out yesterday morning, and an Auburn fan, I said, man, y'all won. He said, yeah, but y'all almost lost. Isn't that funny how Auburn people think? They're good to see us lose and
them win. That's a loser's mindset right there. That's a loser's mindset if I've ever heard one.
Exactly.
Bryce, we appreciate you, man.
Hey, and shout out to the guy inventing yoga pants, because I just saw God's creation in some yoga pants.
Lord have mercy. Okay, Bryce, you have a great rest of your day, brother.
You turn 65, man. You don't have to be dead.
Oh, wow. Wow, man. You're a character, brother. You're a character. That's why we love you, man. Be easy, Bryce.
Bye.
Good deal. Bye. See you. All right. We got to close things out on the radio. I'm going to keep the stream going. We'll keep watching some more tape, but we'll be back here, Tide 100.9, per usual tomorrow, 11 to 1 Central Time. Plus, we got a big day tomorrow. I forgot to mention this earlier. Clint Lamb will be joining us at noon and 12:30. We anticipate talking with crazy Tony Brown. We'll get him. We got a bye week, so we got some good conversations coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30 WTBC, presented by Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We'll see you guys then.